Welcome to the good stuff.
I don't know if you guys haven't met you, I should introduce you because you guys would get along like a house on fire.
I mean, I've met him, but I'd love to be introduced again. Any chance of a second first impression will be so good for me.
I reckon if you're introducing someone who already knows someone, you've got to make the introduction huge. It's got to be like regal levels like you're going to love this guy.
You're going to love the new Tom Walker.
That's meant to be like post-corona when you come back into social settings.
Yeah. Taunt's just standing by a big cake. Everyone's wondering, why is Taunt bringing that? Yeah. Da, 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 da. You're ready for Tom.
Introducing the new, still funny, Tom Walker.
I like how you said Tom, like it was in a different voice, like he's doing this every day with different blokes.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
this
was
just number five.
It's absolutely like he's just fucking chucked on a laptop, recorded in an Audacity. First take's as good as any other. Can still hear the sound of him pressing spacebar to pause it.
You're in the cake, fuming. He hasn't even put any effort into the introduction.
It's a least personal rebrand of all time.
I asked for the reverb option. I paid him extra for some post-processing. I gave him my Auphonic login.
Mr. Skinner is an editor himself. He's not going to enjoy this final product.
There's not even a pop filter on my grand re-entry to society.
You pop out of the cake and he's got his back turned, walking away.
Oh, no.
It's funny to be in a cake furious about the audio of any situation.
I've never been in a cake. I often thought when I was young and I'd watch movies and people would appear out of cakes, it would be something that would happen at least once in my life. But as I grow older, I'm starting to think it may never happen.
That's the thing. Pretty much the only occasion that could happen is a birthday, and you get one less of those every year.
Well,
so,
time's running out. I don't have friends.
Hang on, do you get one? Yeah.
No, you do.
Extremely.
You've got a store of
birthdays. Dark way to look at it, that it's a set number, because you don't know when you're going to die.
You're born with a random amount of birthdays, and when you deplete them, you don't get another one.
So you believe in determinism, really. You think that how long you will live is already determined, but you just don't know that answer. And there's a number of birthdays you have left. And
do
every
you know?
Birthday is a...
Well, how many I've got left?
Or any of us, maybe, either?
I've been looking into it, actually. And Taunts, I'm going to say you might want to start baking your own cake if you really want to get this done. Because, good gracious.
All right, well...
That's a guy who's been planning to kill you, being like, I've been looking into your birthdays, and there's not going to be many left. That's all I'm saying. It's like, you're the worst guy at threatening people I've ever met in my life. Making it birthday related. Just say you'll stab me. That's much more tough than implying that I'll have less birthdays than I would have imagined previously.
Yeah, but you're a dragon. I feel like if you're going to kill someone, you've got to have a bit of fun with it.
Totally. And I think it would be more, like a lot of, you know, trips or holidays or something, it would be more about the lead up than the actual act.
Yeah, it's the process, not the end result.
No, exactly.
That's what I say.
Kind of instilling in the other person.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that would be a lot of... I mean...
This is one of those conversations where it does hit you that you're outnumbered 2-1. Like, as the podcast hosts are having it.
Sure.
And that one of them is sat in front of the door.
Yep, you're in the corner.
Steadily just eyeing off the soundproofing in the room right now.
Yes. A podcast studio probably is the best place to murder someone.
Well, you know, even if you release it, chances of people listening to it and calling the cops are slim to nil.
Also, it's like no one knows what. Like, I ordered your Uber here. Like,
oh my god, it's perfect.
And you know, I was too embarrassed to tell my girlfriend why I was leaving the house. I'm just going out for a run for a few hours, missing without a trace.
Perfect.
Oh my god.
Speaking of like having a set number of birthdays, in year five, maybe, no, it can't have been year five, seven or eight, early on in high school, a kid called Kieran Warwick told me that everyone only gets 6,000 orgasms. So you can use them early or you could play the late game.
This sounds like the logic of a virgin.
You can have the best 2 weeks of your life.
He's like, in year nine, interesting, everyone's wasting their orgasms, clearly. Not me. Very frugal with my orgasms.
But it instilled a lot of fear into me. Definitely. Even though I know it's not true, I still kind of think now there might be a limit.
I think that there's a decreasing enjoyment in, but that's probably like reflective of everything in
life. You think there's a decreasing enjoyment?
I remember.
Wait, Well, yes, that fact is surely the effect of a child, a fool. But I will say that as I grow older, my interest in the fruits of the flesh waxes. And
exactly. But it's not like an instant drop-off after 6,000. I think it's a slow decline over the course of decades. What I would say is I remember, like, my first orgasm as a 10, 11-year-old, whatever.
I was so hoping we'd get to
waking
this.
Up.
Why? Of course this is why we started a podcast.
Well, I mean, look, I just feel like that's you're going to look at, like, the proof of this. That's the...
All right, so you're going to compare your first orgasm to your last orgasm?
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I do that all the time. You're only as good as your last game.
I think it's going to shoot
a laugh. I remember my first orgasm, I was like, because I don't know what your guys' experience
anyone's
was.
Anyone's just shooting in. You're listening to my first orgasm in your kid's book.
Yeah. My first orgasm was like, I was quite young. And also, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't know how to masturbate.
No
like,
one does. No.
Well, yeah, we're even now, don't. We're still puzzling around there. I just slap it around till it yells.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Yeah. Mine doesn't yell. It's a silent scream.
Kind of similar to a yell.
So, scream. I was trying to figure it out. I just was like trying to figure out different ways I could rub it that made it feel good. And I was like, then I happened on a winner. And I was like, oh,
Are you still doing that winner?
Yeah, I reckon so. Probably like a more advanced version of it.
Mm.
You know, it's like, you know, first day in boxing, they teach you the 6 punches you'll learn for the rest
of
your life.
Yeah. What is it? Hook, uppercut?
Yeah, that's it actually. They've pared the sport down a lot. Now you have to pay to unlock the extra punches.
So where in the 6,000 were you? Were you 350 deep at this point, do you think? Because you've wasted many on bad
boxing techniques. Yeah, probably.
You come every time you box.
Well, the first time I masturbated, like I remember doing it and like, you know, getting a bluff. And I was like, I remember having the exact thought of, I will never do this again.
Well, you were off it.
Yeah, I was like, this sucked. And it turned out it was a problem with me, not the process.
Or you just
no,
didn't...
I just didn't feel that good.
Okay.
Totally. I think I accidentally gave myself what's known in porn parlance as a ruined orgasm by like stopping.
Oh, shit.
Because, you know, something was happening at the station and I was like, what?
That was your first one.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, were you aware that what you were doing was masturbation? Like, had you heard of that concept and were trying to replicate it?
Yeah. I was trying to fluke it. I was trying to reverse engineer the process by which you feel good and it feels like you're having sex. But I had no idea what the motion was or how, like, what it was supposed to mimic. Like, I don't know, but, like, when I was, like, 15 or something, I found out there was motion involved in a blowjob, and it blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, motion important for everything.
So, I mean.
No, like, everything. I'm just saying, there's got to be some motion. Wait, were you, what were you doing before? Were you sucking yourself off?
No, I was just saying, like, the only thing I'd seen just then was, like, it was just funny to... leave you because I was like,
that's
leaving Taunton out in the middle of a lake on a stick. Like,
no, in the last podcast, we had Aaron did it,
yeah,
and then Tom as well. I said something, then they both just stopped talking.
Exactly the same thing.
The other one was worse. The other one was bad.
Getting a Chenny pause is hard because you don't know when that's going to end.
No.
He'll just leave you out there.
He was staring at me. Like, I thought I insulted his family or something.
There was a look in his eye like he thought he'd said something awfully wrong.
Yeah.
Like, really.
I was like, roll the tape. What did I say? Reverse it back.
Because, like, the internet has progressed so much, but back then it was only JPEGs, you know. The odd PNG with lossless progression and some PNG. Transparency if you were lucky, but you know.
Now these are LimeWire. You're getting this through LimeWire?
No, just off bloody, you know, any internet site you'd like to care to mention would have a picture of some breasts or.
I remember a big part of what breasts. You'd be looking for is just a photo of a lady. Like that's
a photo.
It was fantastic.
So you just Google Helen Hunt.
Oh, a particular lady. I didn't even have that much
Googled
taste.
Lady.
Just a lady, totally. Yeah. I mean, there'd be some sort of standard applied to
That's
how it
so
made
funny.
Me feel, presumably, but like not a
Your
big
parents
standard.
Catch you jerking off and you close the laptop and they're like, what are you looking at? And you're like, don't look at it. They open up and it's just lady.
Been Googling
just
woman.
The word lady, cursive.
Question mark? lady?
Oh, God.
My point was that I remember it being quite a thrilling experience back at that time. It was like it really kind of took over your whole body, I feel like.
And all
went out your back. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
Totally.
I think
Put out your back, did you say?
Put out my back. Yeah. Going to school. Oh. Tough sleep, guys.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. What was it, 60,000 or 6,000?
6,000.
Could you crank some maths off there, Tom? I hate to, you know, pigeonhole you, but I reckon this might be in your wheelhouse of working out how long 6,000 orgasms will last you on like a week to week basis.
Would there be a formula you could put in?
Let's pretend there's 300 a year, and then so like 600. So 2 years is like vaguely 600 days, like, well, more, but yeah, 700 or something. So then that's what? I fucked it.
I mean, I just tuned out. I was waiting for the answer.
Yeah, I realized that I can take three numbers in a row. But even then, if they're more than one number each, 10.
So 20 years, if you, maybe probably a bit less, if you had an orgasm a day, that'd last you 20 years. 6,000.
That's right.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
So if you start orgasming when you're like 13, let's give us every second day. No, let's not give us that.
But it's better to have lived a life than not.
Well, most people
lived it
when
all.
They're like 40.
And also, imagine
they
how productive
orgasming.
You'll be at like 33 when you're just like, oh, okay, well, sex is no thrall
yeah,
over
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah.
Time like to finally get into animating.
Yeah.
You're already into animating.
Yeah, I burned mine out.
Exactly. You're getting ready.
You have a fantastic new comedy album.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now streaming on Bandcamp.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Thanks, man.
Bandcamp Prime.
Bandcamp Prime, yeah.
Love Bandcamp.
You're alluding to the Amazon special.
That is what I'm talking about, yeah.
Fantastic.
And and that's amazing.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, and that was a misunderstanding for comic effect.
Yes. Attempted, yeah, but it won't be the last.
What do you think went wrong?
I think it was funny, and I think you...
I don't think anything went wrong. I'm in denial about the premise of the question.
I think you just didn't give it. I mean, that's hilarious. In the modern age of streaming, to be like, I got an album on Bandcamp.
I'm being honest here, and I don't mean this critically, but I think we both watched it this afternoon, loved it.
Oh, thanks, guys.
And when I was watching it, I stopped doing this, but at the beginning, I'm like, oh, maybe I could think of a joke to say. And then I thought, oh, it'd be funny to imply that, because it's like a mime show, although you do speak in it, like a lot of it's kind of visual, it would be funny to imply that it was like I watched it, well, like experienced it on an audio-only medium, which I suppose was the joke that you kind of just did there. However, I decided not to do that joke in minute one of the special when he makes that joke himself.
Yeah. But
by referring to an audio book.
Yes.
It actually makes quite a... It's kind of a through line throughout the show.
Mine was more just it'd be funny to use
to misinterpret, to have that totally. Sub in for the Amazon Prime, which is, of course, where you can watch this wonderful special that we're talking about.
And Amazon are a great company as well.
I can't get enough of their business practices.
Yeah. Mm. And that interface is terrific.
Oh, God, don't you love the Amazon Prime interface where you can choose between watching 15 years of Looney Tunes cartoons or season one of Bosch?
Or
we've got seasons 8 to 10 of SVU. Or can I say, down there, 5 pages deep is heat. Sorry.
Good luck even getting to the video bit, because I had the video bit in with just like purchasing goods.
That is true.
Like,
yeah,
that wasn't really? Even clear. To I mean, it wasn't a difficult. It wasn't an easy.
I mean, I've yeah. It's, I can't get. I get caught on the wrong one sometimes because I don't have an app for it. I don't know. My kid TV.
You just keep buying.
Work.
I know. I was going to make a joke about how Taunts uses Amazon to just buy single serve condoms or something. I
mean, one condom.
Yeah.
Quick.
I need it.
Same and delivery. Exactly.
Turning to the bed and showing her what is it. So what do you want for breakfast? You can stay over and we can.
Please stay over.
I'm trying to work out where the Amazon mega factory is. I'll drive there.
I think if I drive in the opposite direction and catch them midway, that'll actually be so much faster.
You're calling Bezos demanding there be a pickup option because you want to.
Bezos, it's me. I want another single condom.
Helicopter lifting off.
Bezos is delivering it?
Yeah. I guess
he should be on the ground sometimes, like undercover Bezos.
Yeah.
As in like a undercover boss situation.
Do a delivery.
I mean, I don't think he wants
to
see what it's like.
No, he should get back to his roots, you know. Because he started delivering, he should get back to delivering.
Exactly. But these billionaires...
I think he does have many roots.
These billionaires are now turning...
Bald. He's bald. And I pointed at my head during that, which implied hair roots. Just what made that vaguely passable as a thing to say. Unlike what you're probably assuming, listener, that was quite shit. What you'll actually find is that it was passable.
That it was really good. Yeah. I mean, he did well in the room.
They killed. I mean, the audience is still on their feet.
Yeah, the two people in the room being like, don't be sub up, man. Yeah.
Billionaires should do a bit of more, like a bit of PR to their, because they're kind of like becoming bigger than politicians now.
They do quite a bit of PR, right?
I think more, though. I think they need to do a bit of like stuff because they're kind of going to be the new leaders of the world, I think.
You think so? You're into this kind of like companies are the new nation states?
I feel that could be the way sort we're heading.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, because totally. They seem to be kind of controlled. Especially like, I mean, the Amazon model's kind of a bit terrifying that it's just going to be like everything in our life is just them doing it for us.
Just one big bloke.
Yeah. So they should keep us happy and deliver.
That's my understanding of the Amazon. Is he business big? As well.
Yeah. I've never seen a picture of him.
Oh, he's bigger than normal.
Or big in like
he's one of those. He's one of those guys that's like rich and due to it has become large. You know, in kind of that like American stand-up comic model of like you get a certain amount of time and money and suddenly your body just explodes.
You mean physically?
Yeah.
Kind of like an ex-rugby league player.
I was going to say like Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is so much buffer than he, you know, technically needs to be as a stand-up comedian.
Technically needs to be. That's the thing in that propaganda documentary series he made.
It's so funny. Where it's like his trainer's like, I've worked with every athlete from the past 10 years. Kevin Hart is the hardest working athlete. No one that I've, can we talk about that? I haven't talked about that for like, so long.
The man who pays me and has a gun to my head just out of shot right now is the hardest working, not arsehole I've ever seen.
Controlling, arrogant man whose TV show I'm guesting on, whose production company is making it. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's incredible. Unreal for so many levels because it's like he keeps working out and it's just like he keeps talking about how hard he works and how hard he works out and it's like there's no correlation between you going to the gym and being funny.
Yeah.
Well, which is why I like, yeah, you were saying that it's like he's bigger than he needs to be. Definitely. For like in terms of how much strength you need to do stand-up comedy, I mean need.
Probably squats. Just
picking up the microphone.
Mm.
Yeah, you got to move it out of the way for the Posh Spice gag.
True.
Oh, unreal.
So God, funny.
That gag. But I'll bring that back when we come back. That's people talk about comedy changing.
Yeah.
That's not that gag is.
You reckon it'll go back? People will forget what they've seen before and the standards will drop. That's what I'm hoping for.
Standards will drop. They will drop.
You think?
Oh, big time. People will just be excited to be in the room.
Oh, the amount of like, you know, there's a gap in the chairs. Oh, social distancing. Fucking 5-minute applause break. We've all, you know.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah, I think the isolation thing will be the hack. One of the hack things.
Oh, it's for sure.
Well, you've been at home self-isolating. You're jerking off, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's actually all right. That's pretty good.
Actually, you can have, you should.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I can have the thing.
Can we draw lots for that, actually?
I don't like the idea. Let's flip a coin
a few times.
I don't want a bomb to lots, like 20 people in a room all 2 meters apart. There's no vibe. That's terrible.
I would have done that before, probably.
Totally. Yeah, definitely the Adelaide. That sounds like the Adelaide Fringe.
Yeah, my awful tent. That was my last gig. I reckon that exact situation. I had 25 people probably in my, like, I mean, 3/4 full tent. And that was spread out so much.
Because they were kind of, it was at the beginning of Corona, people were like scared of it a little
bit. No, just kind of like low ticket sales on a Sunday. And I had
to think. I suppose you don't sit next to people when you do
that. Yeah, and there were like a few, there was probably like 8 people by themselves that had come. One guy had his feet on the stage.
Oh, you hate that.
I had a very bad show. It
that
was the last
would have been the perfect
one.
Time for the social bad. Distancing gag. Guys that come by themselves, that's the.
If only I knew. No one was self-isolating, man.
That wouldn't have worked.
The only one I had, someone coughed and I was like, oh, get out of here, mate. You know, like I did a bit of that stuff. Totally. And that was doing well. And
yeah, exactly.
At the time, that was a different time in comedy. You
it
know?
Was fine to make
that's
fun of it.
That's what the graph is. It's just like how bits not working and then come back down and then you can do the cough stuff
totally,
again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when the next kind of pandemic happens, I've got the cough bit ready to go when I'm doing stand-up. You know, you keep the stuff on the shelf.
That was a great thing. I remember hearing about a certain comic in Adelaide who was doing like, someone who like worked at my venue went to see his show and she was like, it was like 40 minutes of coronavirus stuff or something. And I was like, there is no way in hell that is not like, he hasn't opened up a Word document, found swine flu, replaced it, like done the same thing with all
was
the,
that,
with SARS.
Is that a big comic?
Yes, an American comic.
Was he 200 years old? He just did all his Spanish flu gear. Oh, yeah. World War I was hard. What about this bloody Black Plague?
Do you know the thing that happened to me? Because we were in Adelaide together.
Yes.
The thing that happened, I've told you about it. I've definitely told you about it, Tom Cashman. When Tom Gleason, who's got an Amazon Prime special, like you.
Congratulations.
Went to come to my show.
Yeah.
And the tech...
That's right.
My tech stopped him.
Yeah.
And goes, and she's like, oh, he's a bit low on numbers tonight. You should come back.
He's walking in.
You don't understand.
The person Tom employed
Gleason's
to
not gonna come back.
It's occurred to him that maybe he should go.
And I'm kind of standing there because I'm
wandered through a butterfly somewhere has waved its wings and led Tom Gleason to waft on in.
Exactly.
It's a once in a lifetime opportunity.
Totally. Like he'll never come again. And I was standing there and I looked at
certainly
him.
Certainly not now.
And then Tom looked at me and he's like, and he's a very nice like, and he was like, oh, cool. I guess I'll. And he kind of looked back at the tech because he was like, is she barring me entry into this show?
Yeah.
And then he goes, yeah, cool, I'll come back on Friday. And then we both just walked away. And of course.
No.
He never came back.
No.
Never came back. And he'll never watch me do stand-up again. Now,
and it was a good show. That's why it was
fuming. Oh, that is the issue. Because then I went out
I knew it.
Absolutely tore it up. People were coughing left, right and centre, so I was getting the laughs out of that guy. Never will happen again.
In the Adelaide Fringe, Frank Woodley came to my show 1 year and he was like 20 minutes in, he was like, gosh, there's a lot of singing in this. Because he just wandered into a cabaret show featuring a man wearing makeup. He'd just gotten it completely wrong, but it took him 35 minutes to be like, I don't think Tom does sing as much as this.
God.
Was that the one that looked really similar to your, or was named similar to your show?
Oh, no. There was a show in Edinburgh that had a name of Beef Boop, and the guy did look like me.
Oh, that's right. That was this year. Last year.
The final Edinburgh Fringe. No. that was a weird
What was that character?
I haven't even heard anyone say that.
Oh, hello. I'm across the latest trends.
No, it's me, the Phantom of the Fringe. But I'm like the Phantom of the Opera, but I'm looking for drink tickets, darling.
I have a very negative outlook. I think this will be the final Fringe.
No one's saying it's the final Fringe. I hope Adelaide Fringe is over forever. That's the one I hope goes down.
It would be
Edinburgh,
so
I want
nice.
Edinburgh to come back. I love Edinburgh.
Edinburgh is cool. Have you been to Edinburgh, Tom?
I went last year for the first time.
And we all saw each other, didn't we?
Yeah, but like all that time is blended into each other. I can't recall many memories from that time with any kind of focus.
All kind of blurs in when you're like less than 10 metres away from a tent.
We climbed Arthur's Seat and then had a ramen together with Guy Montgomery.
Oh, that was so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember this stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, that was nice.
I mean, that's in my top, that's one of my highlights of Edinburgh.
Hey, yeah. Fuck you.
Fucking arsehole.
Did you see any like real shit in Edinburgh? I feel like that's always a place.
Oh, you
to
saw
see some
crazy show, didn't you?
Stuff.
What did
didn't
I
you
say?
Go with Valvo to see some crazy show?
Did you see the
no?
the Friendsicle?
And you got bought up on stage.
Oh, I did go to a cabaret show at Pleasance with like six people in the crowd. I don't think that was terrible, but I suppose I was kind of looking at the performer and kind of ignoring how many people were in the crowd, but then was taken on stage and then faced the crowd and it just became clear that there were four of us. Oh. Then you got to look back and you're like, oh, don't drag me into this. There's something wrong with audience participation when, there's less than, I want to say, eight people in the crowd.
Yeah. So bad.
The thing I remember is a friend of mine, and to their credit, I can't remember who it was, but I remember their show called for 10 separate instances of audience participation.
Oh, no.
And then she was like, I have to cut this down because I'm only getting four people a night on a good night.
So they're all in.
To get people up multiple times for stuff.
That is because I really hate participating in shows.
I think
it's not for me at all.
No. Certainly.
I know some audience members do like it, but if there was four people, I would walk out.
Particularly if you're being dragged up. Also, I mean, I've thought about this more over the past year or something. I feel like a lot of laughs you get with crowd work or whatever are just people who are nervous that you're going to make
maybe
them do something.
Maybe they're nervous and they cough and there's a pandemic on and then the...
Totally.
You know, that's a lot of the laughs that people are getting now. And in many ways, they're the best ones,
yeah,
actually.
In many ways, it's kind of forming the new front of
he's so
comedy.
Starved of stand-up, he's redoing crowd work bits he did in Adelaide about coughs. Mental.
Oh, but mate, you know, if Gleason saw it,
he would have waved you over to the couch.
He waved me over to the couch. I sit down. He goes, "You send this hard quiz thing." You're coming, sidekick. Come with me.
Oh,
we ride off into the sunset together.
I hope no one's coughing over there, Tom.
He's like, we'll plan an audience cough. I'll let you do the rest.
People are asking you to guest and do the cough bit. Yeah. And they're setting up.
Taunts before every show slips one audience member $20, says, at this time, I'm going to put a fast food buzzer in your pocket. When it goes off, you cough once, and then you let me do the rest. You play the first note of the symphony, baby.
There's a sign at my venue that says, no strepsils.
And then the bit is just 10 seconds of you being like, yeah, this guy's got corona. Guy's turning to his wife like, he gave me fucking $20 for that. Legitimately, $20. His show cost $10.
We got a comp ticket.
Your text tackling people for coughing. You're like, fuck off!
Yeah. I once saw a crowd work bit. Not a crowd work bit, like, you know, one of those a beautiful fake spontaneous bits.
Oh, yeah.
That was like from a guy. It was at a Cards Against Humanity improv show. Already the worst night of my life.
Is that the big one that always they do it at all the festivals?
There's so many of them, but I think it was. It was like, but anyway, the MC's on there and he's like, he delivers a joke or something and it's some pun. So it's something like, oh, I guess you could say he had a dog day. Oh, fuck you. Like he had the, fuck you to the audience for oaring loaded up already. Yeah. And so neither of them got anything, not even that familiar bit of boilerplate disowning the joke.
That's never a good sign if you write out your set and you're like, yeah, a lot of these tags are just abuse of the audience for not laughing.
Yeah, it's so funny to write down, okay, well, I'll never do that joke again in your set list.
Knowing it's going to fail, I had a night in Edinburgh like that. I was feeling myself backstage before the show and I was talking to Valva and I was like, I'm going to wear a hat and a leather jacket on set. And as soon as I walked on stage...
Was this your hat that said Big Cheese?
Yeah, the Big Cheese.
And I remember, can I quote you after the show?
Yeah, what did
that? He looked me right in the eye and said, like, not kidding, they hated it.
The
Big Cheese hat? Yeah.
Even the jacket could win him back.
I had to restart that show. Like, 15 minutes in, I walked off and restarted the show without the jacket.
Oh, that's so funny.
Didn't it mean something? Big Cheese.
It was like it was a uni night.
Totally. Even worse.
But I had no jokes for it because I remember.
You thought.
Guy and Rose. Oh,
you thought it was going to be just electric.
Wait, Guy. Montgomery and Rose made a face.
They were in the show. Yeah, they came and watched. So truly, funny. To maybe the worst show I've ever done in my life. Like it was so incredibly bad.
Comedy Award winner Rose Matafeo.
Big Cheese have come to watch you bomb with Big Cheese. Yeah.
And it's like Guy was doing his show like in the room after me. And it's kind of like an interesting take on kind of like masculinity. And
he's
men
got something
need to be.
Say.
But and I'm wearing the fucking Big Cheese hat. Couldn't commit to it. And then I took it off and then kept referring to the Big Cheese hat. Like, and then I re-listened to my show and I never even set up the premise of why I was wearing the hat. And I don't know why I was wearing the hat. Or the jacket.
It's one of those ideas where you think it'll speak for itself. There's no need to even think through it.
Oh,
they're going to tell me what the cheese means. You
oh,
know what I mean?
God, it was a fucking... It was a rough one. I wish I didn't bring it up. Because now I'll be thinking about that as I drift off to sleep tonight.
Well, festivals... that's the way festivals are, man. At some point, I think... and it's weird because I do think like the point of a festival is to get kind of... get to the point where you're either riding the wave of the audience or the show is good enough that you can deliver, like, you know, a great show every night. But at some point, you will go crazy and you'll make the worst possible decision. Like, you know, perhaps a hat. Trying out of something new because you've just gone insane doing the same shit.
But that is kind of part of it. They're seeing it for the first time, but you're slowly living with this thing. And because it's not even... talented at many sports growing up.
Were you actually?
I was a really good golfer.
I was a golfer.
Yeah, really good. Really? I played this morning.
Do you have a view on this? He was just saying that he's concerned that he's not, because he used to be very good, but then obviously doesn't play as much anymore.
And you lose
it. So it's like
it.
How, and then, well, I played with you in Edinburgh actually.
Yeah,
and
that's
then,
right.
And you were, because in my mind, he's a very good golfer and like I haven't played much in my life, but I was keen for it. And in my mind, you're going to be very good and like having a great time. But he was fuming the whole time.
That is, yeah.
Because he's just like angry that he's not fulfilling his potential.
But it's like, you know, with any skill, you get good enough that you realize what good is. Mm. And then you're furious that you're not good. Like, good always, is always shifting, isn't it?
Totally.
But I think the
issue, my point, I think you should shift it back.
I would love to shift it back. But it is like, for some reason, it's like I did a kickflip on a skateboard when I was 14.
Oh, that's great. But anyway, back to golf.
But if you pop me on a
that's great, man. I don't know if this is very relevant.
But if you pop me on a skateboard...
It's not going to get you any points at the golf club, mate.
How many times does he even bring that up every episode?
This is weird. What's under the desk? Oh, it's a skateboard.
Anyway, Cam, that was great. I did a kickflip on a skateboard when I was 14.
So, you know, incorporate that into your opinion.
Oh, my God.
My point was, if I got on a skateboard now, I'm still the guy that did a kickflip. In my head, I'm a kickflip skateboarder.
Yes.
But that happened 15 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like we're returning again to the theme of the episode, which seems to be the ravages of age.
6,000 orgasms?
Do the ones that you cause count against you? Because otherwise you could be in some trouble with the kickflip.
You should get two back orgasm-wise if it's a failed or
failed one. Oh, I like this. Yeah. That's a great opinion to say on a date. Bring up the 6,000 thing, then say, actually, I feel like causing them should give you more leeway. And then she'll be like, oh, this guy's
giving back.
Exactly. Okay, so my hobbies are causing orgasms, having orgasms, in that order.
And number three, got to be kickflips.
I do kickflips.
I've found that almost sometimes with video games. Like, I remember booting up a first-person shooter for the first... You can tell we had very different childhoods. Mm,
yeah, you were a gamer. You were on a watch list of future kind of... one-man shooter.
Yeah, they should have been checking my backpack. Yeah. If we were in any kind of state with more stringent... Anyway.
interesting take.
What laws need to be more stringent?
I don't know. I got lost.
I think gun laws.
But I absolutely couldn't agree more.
They are... gun laws need to be stricter.
Oh, I just think that he was alluding to
I think
gun
I
laws.
Got lost in that classic Australian thing of making a joke about American situations where in Australia it's not really a...
Yeah.
That was weird being in America and being like, people have just guns here. Like, I'm within 100 meters of a gun at any point in time. Mm.
It's freaky. And then they think, in my experience, that you're a pussy when you're scared about that.
When you get shot with a gun.
Yeah. And that's what they say to you.
And you die. They're like, you're a pussy.
Dude, you got to be able to take one of
you
those.
You take a bullet. You know, what are you, fucking not from the USA?
Yeah, we raise them tough.
I don't
over
like
here.
Your culture. I've been shot in both kneecaps and it hurts. They're
Do you
like,
think
well,
it would be nice to have a bullet? You know, there's a bulletproof vest. I would love to have a bulletproof shirt because I want to keep the guns safe. And you know.
Oh yeah, because if you got a bullet in the bicep, well, it might bounce off your bicep.
Oh, stop it!
Oh God!
Oh God! He's got me on the ropes here. In the compliment battle.
I thought we talked through this, Taunton. No flirting. A bullet could probably ricochet biceps.
Dude, I've gotten so fat. I've been.
Oh yeah,
I haven't
me too.
Been
yeah.
Sober. I've been sober on a single night this quarantine.
You've been boozing.
I've been boozing like crazy. Me What's and Demi both boozing.
I ran into Demi the other day and she was talking about how much she'd been drinking.
Yeah, it's bad.
And I, in my head, I was like, Tom wouldn't fall that low.
Oh, we've been dragging each other down, dude.
What's your poison?
Really fun. We've been like playing.
It's a bit guilt-free, surely, because, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit. But also, like, we did that stand thing, the stand lockdown.
Mm. That's great.
Thank you so much. Mm. So good to hear.
When's yours coming out? I can't wait to see it.
I think it's the second batch.
Oh,
it's a it's a strange premise.
Oh, let's not talk about it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got that. Got that and then another thing. And I've just been like looking at my body in the edit being like, Jesus Christ, dude. I've got retired actor body now.
I've stopped looking in the mirror.
Oh, I got to tape mine up. Do you ever do that? It's so good.
Tape your mirror up.
Yeah, just like taping A4 pages over your mirror. Just be like, you know what? You know, I don't need this.
That's crazy.
It'd be a more depressing image to have in your
mirror. Take the mirror off the wall.
Turn it around.
On the times that I've done it, I have drawn a happy face and put that on the mirror instead.
You should just put a picture of you when you're ripped.
Oh, that'd be nice. Trick the old brain.
Oh, yeah. You go, oh, you're looking good. Wink at yourself. You would want, because you're lifting weights and stuff. Not to go back to the bicep, but would you want the gyms to reopen?
Oh man, I do, but I also feel like I'm absolutely going to get COVID off of a fucking weight bench or something. That's but I would, I, man, I think I'm fanging for the gym.
Yeah,
I'm missing it.
I just want to get in there, you know.
Yeah.
Show the face, do a few of the, because I quite like just nodding at the big. We're just watching.
You do a few reps of walk arounds, don't you?
Oh,
you make sure to get in
the
there.
Gym.
Where were you nodding at?
The real muscly dudes.
And then what do they do back?
Well, I'm hoping they will ask me to spot them.
That's actually the dream?
Yeah, because I'm not very strong. I'll be just doing like.
I agree that that's Sam's dream.
That's not your dream.
Did I? It would be crazy for you to chance.
I once chanced a head nod at someone who I recognized from the gym outside of the gym, and it was not returned.
That's crazy.
And immediately I felt, why did I do that? That was so foolish.
Because
I was walking away
here,
from the gym. I could tell he was coming in. Oh. I was like, you know what? Why not? We've never interacted.
Why not? Be yourself. Feel
Such
yourself.
Stupid,
you read about people doing this.
Idea.
But what about the feeling of spotting? Is there like satisfaction in that feeling for you?
Nah, I find it very strange. I tried to ask people to spot me like for a while, but then I find that I laugh too much because sometimes they'll try and encourage you, and there's something so ridiculous about
You start tickling someone.
Oh, it's the guy carrying the feathers around the
gym
to spot me.
Etiquette, man.
He's immediately down at my feet, wiggling the feather between my toes. Oh, why don't I ask him?
Exactly. Oh, man. I fucking love Captain Feather Sword. He can bench 220, but to be fair to him, and it's just top tickling cunts that
fitness
he has
first.
To. I saw a dad spotting his son once.
Oh, that's cute.
Both muscly.
Both muscly?
Yeah, it was awesome. Awesome. Like a young dad, he would have been late 40s, but muscly. And then like a 20-year-old son, muscly.
Mm. Dang.
Dang, indeed.
So had the kid early.
That's the kind of thing that you're... That's the kind of
I think I want
that
a kid,
you're...
yeah. That's what
you
want
to... Not what I was trying to imply.
It'd be so funny.
Anyway,
to
yeah,
a...
look, I feel, yeah,
I'm just trying
to
get
parent,
into
yeah.
the relationship of... Because, I mean, you've spot me a few times when we
went to the gym.
And that I kind of understand there's like a tenderness there. There's like a... So you're being a support network for someone. I get it.
My spotting
but I
or
know
gym
you.
Spotting in general?
Well, just, yeah, if with someone I didn't know, I wouldn't be interested.
Well, yeah,
that's
the thing is, like, whenever someone I don't know has done it, I've been like, they've been like, oh, how many are you going for? And I'd be like, well, five or whatever. And the guy's like, and I'll reach it and be like, oh, go for one more, man. Come on, fire. Or, like, you know, he'll say something and I'll just, like, start giggling because I'm like, that is so unnatural.
It's
and
like,
weird.
You don't know me.
Yeah.
Don't
dude.
Tell me what I could and can't do. I know my limits. You've never met me before.
Just the idea, like, I start laughing at the idea of just loosing my hands and letting it crush my neck. just letting him wander the earth for the rest of his days, being like, could I have stopped him?
That is such a funny kind
ruin
of
his
gag.
Life.
That would ruin your chest. But him being like, you got one more in you, and then you just.
Just let it go.
To prove a point to him
I
that you know your limit. Oh, my Lord.
I remember going to a physio once, and because I did athletics in school, and I'd done my hammy or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he was touching me, and yeah, huge.
Is that lower back issues when you do a hamstring? Is that what they put it
maybe
down
it
to?
Wasn't. I think it was like a cork in my thigh. Oh, so I think maybe not hamstring, just hamstring adjacent. That wasn't like the issue, but like... He was trying to get it out or whatever, and it was just ticklish. And I can't go to any sort of physio now because I think any touching,
you ticky,
similar thing.
You're ticklish.
Yeah, but it's the idea of it as
you're
well.
Grinning.
Once you know that you shouldn't be laughing, it's like,
he has got like a little maid's smile on his face.
That's what I've never seen that smile before.
And saying ticklish, you have the coyest little smile on your face.
Like, well, I guess I'm a little bit ticklish.
I'm a little ticklish. I guess there's no way for you to know unless you were to diggle to me now.
The guy who's like too obviously wants to be tickled.
I can't stand it.
Yeah, one
tickled.
Mate Max, when he gets drunk, he gets pretty aggressive. But yeah, Tom, he gets fucking obsessed with tickling.
Have you watched the tickling doco?
Yeah.
Yeah, you like that?
Oh.
I like you can tear through that league, do you, champ?
I like the beginning bit, but I didn't like the end when it all got spoiled by the nosy reporter.
Let the boys tickle.
All right, so I guess it's illegal to run a small business in this country.
Exactly. This is the kind of prejudice that meant it had to be underground in the first place. But I don't know. Yeah, there's something about, I think... It's quite embarrassing for someone to be causing giggliness or ticklishness.
Yeah.
It makes them very embarrassed. And then, so you feel bad for them, but then you look them in the eye and then, you go on. Because you're creating that situation for them.
Totally.
That's the funny bit of being, so it's not just about the physical ticklishness. It's about the
Yeah, I think it's all part of the human touch. Sometimes makes me smile.
What are you saying?
I can't get enough kit. Of that thing. I can't get enough of that human touch.
Yeah.
God, it freaking rules.
Looked great.
That's
in
the most flippant reason to have a child. Because he was ticklish.
I want to be touched.
Want to hold the kid up from a little bit of a height, let it drop onto you, be like, oh, who's this? Oh, knock before you come in, won't you?
Clap. That's pretty good. That's good stuff.
Man, my friend's got a kid and he got really angry at me because I wouldn't stop calling it pathetic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why is it pathetic?
Yeah. Because it's like the kid doesn't know. Yeah. I was like, this is pathetic.
In what tone?
Get up.
In that tone?
Angry, yeah.
Okay. Very dismissive. I think they kind of...
They would know they're pathetic. That's why you crave to become less pathetic and older and take on more responsibility.
Yeah, maybe I'm giving it a weird personality. Maybe they were right to be annoyed.
I think that it would know, depending on how old it is, definitely wouldn't know the word pathetic. It would know the vibe.
You're pathetic. I mean, also...
I mean, if it's a 16-year-old doesn't understand the word pathetic, then it is.
So, I feel like you parents will just take the insult of the kid. So you're just calling the kid pathetic. It's just you're just calling the parents pathetic.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I could cut parents out the middleman and just call the parents pathetic.
Yeah, parents are weirdly protective over their kids. I don't get it. But
you are okay. I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna say you probably shouldn't have a kid.
Just that's let gonna it kick in.
Okay, just let it get grabbed by a bird. Oh, what's God. The worst thing that could happen? Well, you'll make another.
Well, if I don't have a kid, who's gonna tickle me?
Oh boy.
I wanted to say you looked good in the special.
That's
thanks,
true.
Man.
You did. Did you think he looked great?
Yeah. Were you happy with it?
I am, yeah. I'm really happy with it. I think there's a weird thing now where it's like just out there and I'm like kind of trying to keep plugging it and like all the recommendations from people help, I guess, and posts and retweets. But like, yeah, just trying to get it seen.
That is the thing. But it's kind of cool that for one moment in time that show is filmed, recorded, exists, and it's out there for people. Mm. And it can have you'd never know the lifespan of things. It can just go and go and go, you know?
This is definitely the first thing I've recorded that I can watch back and not feel intense self-disgust at. Because every other clip online I have is the cringiest shit you could possibly see. Like, it's so bad.
Well, I mean, that's
in your high standards to yourself.
Yeah, in my high standards to myself. But also, there's some stuff that's like widely reviled and reposted by trolls and shit, you know? Like,
things that are widely reviled? Like,
what are you talking about?
Me Meow is like loathed
by
certain. The same kind of people who hate Demi. Like,
Is so that it's, you guys found love?
Yeah,
we were like,
you know what? We can prove them wrong
together.
We're still 3 years in, you know, hoping for a spark to come in at some point. But you know, we're making the best of it.
It's just out of obligation based on similar comments.
Still top and tailing, you know. One day we'll get a kiss out of each other. But yeah, like it's just that weird thing where like I don't know. It's weird that people. Not weird. Like I completely understand people hating it, but I also did it because it was stupid. And, like, at least in the special that it's part of, it kind of makes sense because the whole thing doesn't make sense. Like, it's all just fucking terrible ideas I had because I was having a breakdown. And I think the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. But also, like, I understand why they don't like it. But it's hard to come back with, like, yes, I know. I made it shit on purpose.
Yeah.
And that's been a change in my creative process.
But that is kind of true, though. And, like, context does matter. And if you present something that's a silly, kind of deliberately silly thing.
It's a goof, baby.
Like, yeah, that's different from...
Yeah, like, sometimes you wear like a big cheese hat and...
That's what you were attempting to do. You wanted to add a layer of irony. You chose to add a layer of irony 20 seconds before the performance.
Okay, we've got a layer of irony and a layer of clothes. We're going to put both of those on.
Exactly.
Putting on a jacket is such a...
It was crazy. I've never done comedy in a jacket before in my life.
Have you ever made a call on like something you'd wear on stage, Tom? I feel like you might have gone through... Because I know you used to be a guitar man.
I used to be a guitar man.
A great guitar man.
I think... Maybe a year ago, I stopped wearing T-shirts and started wearing, like, but that was just kind of in my life as well.
Button-downs.
I think that's a great move. I think people respect you more in a button-up shirt.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you have a vibe of a button-up shirt, yeah.
I've noticed a marked difference since 2017.
So you reckon better, more laughs due to the buttons?
Oh, I wouldn't say heaps of
because I'm looking. I need
because I'm looking at. Taunton's just going to be buying bulk buttons.
Every other comedian
put stuffing him with his pockets.
Exactly. I think there's some magical formula of clothing. I'm like, well, if it's not the big cheese hat, maybe it's four buttons done up.
Oh man, wait, but opposing sides.
I naturally, well, not naturally, but like in my life, do use a hanky. A handkerchief.
A thing I hate that you do.
Yeah, you don't like it. People don't like it, but, you know, I don't know. My dad did it, and, like, it's a bit gross, but I think I need to blow my nose more than the average person.
And you like to keep the snot around you.
Well, this is the trouble. I find, from my upbringing, like, tissues to be quite gross, because then they're, like, all just... If they're in your pockets, they get broken up, and then you're kind of like...
You don't put them in your
pockets. Yeah, I think you're failing to understand the difference between the tissue and the hanky.
So the tissue is disposable.
Totally, but, okay, so let's... Put yourself in my situation. I know I'm going to blow my nose like three times today, but I don't know when. So if you wanted to use tissues, you'd have to bring tissues with you, right? You get the urge, and so you use one of the tissues. Where do you put it? In a bin? Well, very convenient. If there's a bin around, what if there's no bin around? It's back in the pocket, and then where are we?
Odd litter.
You'd litter.
Pick it up later.
Well, that's
it depends where you are.
Okay, pick it up later. You drop it on the street go back later looking for the tissue.
Okay, oh, sorry, babe. I know that condom's winging its way here as we speak, but it's 10 p.m. and I've got to swing back and get my tissue.
That's when there's no girl around. He's on Amazon looking for tissues.
Look at this hero persona Torts is crafting for himself, trying to, like, fucking fumble into what a good guy would do.
He doesn't even know what a...
All I'm saying is that I've never lived a life where it's been difficult to find a place to put a tissue.
Yeah, totally. The street, because you're a little scumbag.
You litter and then go back the next day to
pick
it up.
I do. I've picked up tissues.
Other people's tissues.
Never would ever do that. But sure. I would pick up my own tissue.
That you've thrown on the ground.
I've thrown on the ground. But I would only throw it if it was like a backyard of a place.
Someone else's backyard. That's the only place where it's appropriate to litter.
You're so close to a bin in that case.
It's like a question if away. No bin, I think it's better than a
too nervous to ask where the bin is, but so not nervous to just fucking throw it in there.
I mean, yeah. Have you ever done a fisherman's blow?
What does that mean?
No hanky or tissue. You put one finger on the nostril, and you just let it rip.
I mean, if necessary, but I think you're trying to avoid that as well.
I've come around to doing that near constantly. I'm under no illusion as to it making me a more charming person to be around. Mm. I think it's yucky. But
you do
also,
it on the street?
If I'm on the street and I really need to, I'll cut my hand under the nostril and do it into the hand.
I thought you said cut your hand, and I was like, what?
I'll cut my hand to form a distraction to the snot. I'll be waving that around getting blood on people.
Neither of you guys know much about social etiquette. There's a lot of mistakes being made.
Sorry, I've got my bloody hand there.
Totally. Come back 24 hours later to pick up all the blood.
Yeah.
My point was, though, that I... hanky, a bit ridiculous, but it is a real thing. And then one time I was on stage and then needed to blow my nose, so I got it out.
You dabbed your brow. Oh, you...
you got your hanky out and blew your nose.
Yeah, and like probably, I want to say, up there with the biggest laughs I've ever gotten in my life. So if we're talking about clothes gear, the hanky stuff killed. Like people thought it was a bit. And then I was like...
I'm clapping that right now. That's one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
And to do that with the blank innocence of your eyes of someone who's not trying to be funny.
And would you do it again? Because you're a hanky man.
To be honest, it was on Roadshow. It was with Brennan Reese.
Oh, yeah.
He was there because I remember, and I got off stage and he said, love the hanky stuff. I'm like, that's not stuff. I just needed to vote. And he's like, oh, right, yeah.
So I was still in character.
It's never good when your best bit is just something
else. But writing is living.
Totally. And so maybe... If you want some clothes tips, I reckon hanky's up there for me.
That's so funny, man. Bring back live comedy just for that. I can't believe you're sitting on that. That's incredible.
Can I give you one thing? You should have your blowing hanky, but you also should have your brow dabbing hanky.
Okay.
You know, really just become the hanky guy.
God, the hanky. I'll be the tissue guy. I'll walk out, just throw some tissues on the stage.
I'll come back and pick them up. Yeah.
Can I ask you something? I have been thinking about this. Were you angry, because for a lot of the advertisement for these Amazon specials,
yeah,
a lot of the billboards I saw, they went with...
They said, cunt. Tom Walker
and
was
I
a
wanted
cunt.
To know if
did that,
that
offend you?
Did you get upset about that?
Did that make you upset? Hey, I thought it might.
It feels so bad.
Good. Because I agree with the billboards.
It'd be nice. There are so many edgy comedy podcasts. What about three guys all here admitting to their hurt feelings? Things that have really gotten to them, you know?
They didn't go. That is funny, though, of the people producing it, trying to make money of it, just having a dig as well. Just being like, we want to support it, but this guy's a fucking
difficult to work with.
The people need to know. No, they went with your Celia Pakolas, your Tommy Littles, your Gleasons on the big billboards. No, Tom. And you've described them all as, like, mediocre talent.
Not a day goes by that I don't look at a photo of Celia Pakola and dash it to the floor.
they're amazing, but I'm like, where was Tom Walker?
Yeah, I think the I would describe as Amazon's attitude to me as summed up by the initial phone call I got about the special, which was from kind of the head of the agency being like, and hey, fantastic news. We've gotten you this, right? Your last one that we've had confirmed. We had to push really hard for you. They fought back every step of the way.
like, whoa.
Okay, well, yeah, no, you could have just told me they liked it.
So true. They want to justify their jobs by making it sound very hard so that you value them more. But, like, but in doing so,
they need to just tell their friends about how hard they work. They should be like, they came to, you were the first one.
It was a breeze, actually. They were knocking down our door.
We were fighting for Gleason. They didn't want Gleason.
too funny, they said.
They wanted you on the bus stops. We said, fuck off.
I am not surprised that they have the celebrities on the...
some clear metrics were done.
But my point is...
Back these decisions. They're not complicated decisions.
I reckon I'm a few zeros of income off being on a billboard.
But you can't become a celebrity
until you're on the bus stops.
And that's the crazy thing about Australia, isn't it? We don't build up, we just tear down. So with that said, I'm coming for Tom Gleason. I'm going to be Mr. Hard Quiz.
Oh, wow.
No,
I like the idea that you get big off the bus stops. Like, that's not correlating with fame. It's the first step. Yeah, he really came up. Who are your favourite guys? Oh, yeah, the 133.
Yeah. Tom's actually started doing open mics, and he's immediately booked himself for some bus stop ads just to give himself the leg up.
Dude, he's on the Coogee to the city. Like, that's pretty good. That's a good route. Yeah.
That's what the footage of races.
Are we talking about Tom?
About one of my 6,000 that I've got left because I've never come.
Yes.
All the racists that get filmed having rants on on buses, they're just open market. They're just trying to work on a new set. Everyone's like, how dare you say that about Chinese people? They're just like, oh, is that not what communities
it'd be
feeling
so
like?
Good to have, like, just in the background of that, just an ad for, you know, Tom Walker, very just a little bit of promo.
Oh, pop it, yeah.
I might go through some, like, viral racist freakouts and just, you know, pop a poster in the back.
That's not far off. Because that's like,
yeah, totally.
People
I agree.
Already kind of try and make things go viral, which has company shit in it. And at the moment, I think it's often pretty obvious what's happening.
Yeah.
But that's a style of thing that goes viral. Why not?
What about this, right? So there's someone on the train or the bus going nuts at someone, like a racist rant.
Yes.
And then you filming it, secretly work for Apple, and then you're filming it yelling, I'm going to film you with my new iPhone 11.
You're on the iPhone,
buddy.
The
camera is unbelievable. I've got you in HDF being racist. Bang goes viral. We sell more iPhones.
Yes, finally.
We end racism, sell more iPhones. The two things I'm very passionate about.
You've already been paid? Like, how about we do this? Yeah. It'd be cool if someone was booked for that, wouldn't it?
Anyway, no, the special's great and congratulations. And I hope you should be very proud.
God bless you. I'm bowing. And now I've finished bowing.
That was the opposite
of
mine.
Again, physical stuff is
he wasn't
very
doing
difficult.
That was all audio.
On audio. Yeah, I figured I'd save myself a bit of a lower back extension.
Yeah, nice.
Why not?
Fair enough.
Yeah, man. It's weird having it out there, but it's cool.
Were you nervous before it?
Yeah.
Pretty
great
nervous.
Question. Who opened for you?
No one. I
good.
The, yeah. I
warm up yourself.
I did. I did too long up top. I came out, I was having fun and riffing with, just being like, yeah, this is weird. I've never done this before, you know, being incredibly charming. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. That's great, that stuff.
Like the stuff that
are you
I
saying
love
that? Because that could...
Weird. I came out, I was like, just so you know, guys, this is me charming. Being incredibly charming. Totally, they laugh almost thinking it's a joke. Okay, I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is the level of social nuance you can expect.
But you were getting big laughs on that backstage, Mike.
Yeah, because like I've just been going so
I thought
long.
You meant for a second.
Because, yeah, he introduces himself from the backstage mic to the crowd. I thought you meant, like, there was a mic backstage and he was, like, killing to other comedians.
Oh,
that would be a great room. You know how people film their intros into their Netflix? Oh, fuck. Just pay some other comics.
That'd
like,
be
yeah,
so fun to have a green room stacked full of comics. Oh, fuck. Just to backtrack, you know that Kevin Hart thing we were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
I feel like no one else has, like, committed this to memory but me. But right at the end of that Kevin Hart thing, which I think is... that there's a little point where he's at JFL presenting Tiffany Haddish with like a Lifetime Achievement Award or some such. And they're shaking hands on stage. And then as he leaves, you know, in the aftermath of the ceremony, there's a quick shot of him shaking hands with Hannah Gadsby.
Yeah.
Him saying, I
know
loved your work. I loved the show.
And her saying, I love your work too.
Yeah.
So she's a Kevin Hart fan.
I reckon. I mean, they were just all schmoozing, but I think he put that in there because then the point of the...
Yeah,
I mean,
the homophobic tweet. Yeah.
So it's like, did I shake hands with any gay people in the last 2 years? And they probably went through footage.
He didn't. You know the trailers when they're like, are you homophobic? And he's like, stop. There's a lot of things you don't know. They didn't need the six. They could have just cut to him shaking hands with Hannah Gadsby. Darn hook. Maybe as she shook his hand, she said... You're one of the most amazing athletes I've ever seen.
It is an honour to meet the hardest working athlete in stand-up comedy.
She was complimenting his workout.
Yeah.
My sister's point about that, because I watched it recently with my sister and a boyfriend, she made a good point about that, like, documentary, whatever you'd call it. Her theory is that he's never held his children without AirPods in. that could be true.
Who said that? Your sister?
Yeah.
That is such a funny joke. That's awesome.
That's so good.
He's always got them in when he's with his kids. And you know from the look in his kids' eyes when he's interacting with them for the cameras, they haven't seen him in weeks.
Yeah. They'll have issues for sure. Or they'll be in showbiz, sure. I guess.
There's just a few of him like FaceTiming his son being like, do your homework. And you cuss the kid like, what?
There's a weird.
I've clearly never heard this before.
They're please, like, I've got no moral compass. Please, just any nudge in the right direction.
Is this what people say?
There's a weird scene real early on.
Make sure to pick up tissues 24 hours later. That's the kind of thing that Kevin Hart would tell his kid.
I think he's a good parent, I think.
he's a
tissue guy. Yeah, I like that guy. And his wife's like, you smell. Have you showered in like three? And he's like, I haven't showered in 3 days. I'm like, why'd they leave that in there? It's like propaganda for how good he is. It's like... You just be like I shower. Heaps.
Yeah. Oh, he's working so hard, but it's also like you could just as easily not be working that hard. Like that's one of those things where it's like I don't know. All the coder guys love to be like, yeah, I'm working so hard. I'm on Soylent, you know, just so I can squeeze in some extra hours. And it's like, well, you could probably just live a normal life. Like you'd probably be happier. But I think you've tied up a lot of your like. Satisfaction in your self-perception of yourself as working harder than everyone else as like
that was one of the takeaways. I don't know what about him being like I'm going to be a billionaire that made you think
it's like it's not funny.
No,
at no point is it a funny thing, and it's like you're a comedian.
It's him hanging out with his friends who are also all comedians, and somehow you're just sitting there, be like, "Sure, it's a lot of money talking." Man, I don't know if people who want to be billionaires to the sacrifice of all else are cool people.
Yeah. Almost like it's a bit vain, and maybe there's not a lot there.
It was pretty cool, though, to be fair to that show, seeing his. He just didn't understand the homophobia accusations.
Oh.
Like he was in such denial about that to the point where he showed that meeting with his people and they're all like, look, this is actually...
Yeah.
Like one of them was gay and she's like, look, everyone in my life is saying that like is anti me because I'm associated with you. And he's like, just didn't understand at all. It was interesting.
I mean, it's just...
Good that he kept that in.
Yeah.
Smart. Who directed, produce? Did he do it all? Surely there was a director
that had
a tiny bit of artistic kind of input on it.
I think it was kind of all PR to get over that.
Absolutely.
That scandal, I suppose. Then it was the point. Then, because I watched it recently, it was him and his wife and his kid near the swings. I think he was pushing his kid on swings.
Yeah.
And she was there being like, he gets it now. He just gets it. And he was like,
I get it.
But never prove that he got it. But like the arc of it was meant to, I suppose, prove that he got it.
He's like, I'm pushing my son on a swing. People who ride swings, clearly gay. That's it. I get it.
I would now never tweet the words, if I come home and find my son playing with some dolls in a dollhouse, I'm going to smash it over his head and yell in my voice, that's gay.
Like, that was the tweet, right?
It's the funniest tweet. Like, because it's incomprehensible.
It's like, what is it?
And also the addition of say into my voice. Like, he's being like, picture me.
Say in my, and we've watched Kevin Hart do stand-up. That is not his voice of stand-up. Like, he's quite...
You reckon he stole the bit? That's a big accusation.
I mean, that's a real Sam Taunton vibe, is what I'm saying.
He did steal the bit. He must have, because you watch him do comedy, and it's very, you know, it's very thought out and methodical. It's set up punchline, and he keeps going with it. It's very written. Maybe he's got writers. Maybe his stand-up's not real. Maybe the tweet's not real. I don't know.
Well, maybe it was that guy, because he does have writers, like those guys that go around, his paper cup boys, or what are they called?
The red cup boys.
It'd be a great gig.
But one of the boys betrayed him.
Would love to be the member of an entourage.
Oh, would you actually, though?
I don't think so, actually. As soon as I said it, I was like, that sounds like it would be a draining and weird life, being kind of living on someone else's
whims. You're the guy that bailed on the joke before you'd even finish the joke.
Oh, yeah, I'd love that. Would you?
Would you?
No, absolutely not.
I'd actually
what gave you that idea?
You didn't wait for the audience to try to laugh before being like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Man, it's still one of my favourite moments. It's like, oh, but he was having a dog day. Oh, fuck you. Way too quick.
Oh, fuck you.
Just the worst stand-up. Someone who's learnt from, like, a fucking paint-by-numbers. Anyway.
Should we wrap up or what? We're not. We shouldn't wrap up? Keep going.
Yeah.
I have one more. If we're ending, I have one more question about the special.
Oh, yeah?
Now that it's filmed and in the can, will you go back to normal comedy?
I don't know that I'm capable of it. I think I keep trying to write jokes, but I'm not very good at it.
But your last show was like jokes, the one that we were doing in Adelaide before, not you and me, but we were there together, and then comedy got cancelled.
Yes. It was like a mix of physical comedy and then also stand-up comedy that I'd written, but all the stand-up comedy was about me as a javelin athlete.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's normal comedy. Okay. That's only coming from Sam having his show being all about him being a golf athlete and doing a kickflip once when he was 14.
It's a great show. I mean, a lot of people were crying at the
end. Out, pointing at the hat.
I'm at the front on a skateboard at the end trying to do a kickflip. You're falling over. Pick me up.
But yeah, no, I don't think so. I think I'll keep doing physical stuff. I'm just better at it.
Hell yeah.
And I like it. Anyway.
Anyway, we will drop that last question.
Woo!
To just say it to someone's face.
We're not going to include that, mate. Just so you know.
What could he have wanted?
That wasn't... That perfectly legitimate answer to that question.
What could it... Flowcharting it out.
What about the honest answer? Was it sufficient?
It's my personality, obviously. We've got to start there and work backwards.
Exactly.
Oh, my Lord. We'll keep it in.
All right.
We don't have a way to...
Yeah, we don't end them.
Oh, okay, sweet.
Check out Tom Walker's special.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Very, Very Thanks.
And it's very funny.
It's very good. Awesome. Thanks, man.
No worries.
Among the world's most wealthy, there's a common trait they share. They've all got a certain something, every single billionaire. Yes, they've all got lots of money, but sit down, pull up a chair, and I'll tell you what it is. It's that they've all got hair, except Jeff Bezos. So let's sing about the guy from Amazon, the one that's super rich but his hair is gone. Makes me wonder what's really going on, Jeff Bezos. He's making so much money every day, why can't he just buy a really good toupee? Maybe he went prematurely gray, Jeff Bezos. Every other person who's synonymous with wealth has a mane upon their head that is the picture of good health. There is only one among them with their scalp exposed to air. It's the richest of them all, this 116 billionaire, Jeff Bezos. So let's sing about the guy from Amazon, the one that's super rich but his hair is gone. Makes me wonder what's really going on, Jeff Bezos. He's making so much money every day. Why can't he just buy a really good toupee? Maybe he went prematurely gray. Jeff Bezos. I don't know if it's a style thing, but it matters not to me. I just want to know what problem he has with conformity. All the other billionaires have some weather colored or combed over. Of the richest folks alive, your head is like a four-leaf clover. Jeff Bezos. So let's sing about the guy from Amazon. The one that's super rich but his hair is gone. Makes me wonder what's really going on with Jeff Bezos. He's making so much money every day. Why can't he just buy a really good toupee? Maybe he went prematurely gray. Jeff Bezos. One more time. So let's sing about the guy from Amazon. The one that's super rich but his hair is gone. Makes me wonder what's really going on. Jeff Bezos. He's making so much money every day. Why can't he just buy a really good toupee? Maybe he went prematurely gray. Jeff Bezos.